Today's daf is Shabbos daf Ayin Tes, and we are on Ayin Ches and Mabez by the two dots in the sugyas of Hotza'ah and taking out different types of materials, different types of paper and cloth and parchment, different parts of the cloth. So that's what comes up in the Mishnah on daf Ayin Ches. And we start with the two dots on daf Ayin Ches Amid Beis. Tanu Rabbanan, Hamos Ishtar Chov. If somebody goes out, not find, Hamos Ishtar Chov is discussed about Metzia, if you find a Shtar Chov. But this obviously based on context, if you carry out a Shtar Chov, somebody carries out a Shtar that says, Reuven owes me money. So, or, I owe Reuven money. We'll have to see who it's talking about, the Malver or the Lova. So, Achelo Pro Chayev. Before it is paid up, chayiv, it's still significant, it's still meaningful, that shtar. Mishapra'o pater, but once it's paid up, then what use is there to the shtar anymore? It's already shtar parua, and therefore pater, Tanakama holds pater. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, af mishapra'o chayiv. Even after it was paid up, one is chayiv, mibneshet sarachlo, because he still needs it. Who is the he? That is not clear in the Gemara. We'll have to see the different opinions coming up. So, my binaya, what's this machlokas about? Again, the Tanakama holds that a shtar chov is only significant, that is only meaningful before it's paid up. Once it's paid up, it's not meaningful anymore. Mashaykid, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he holds that even after piraon, still it's meaningful, and therefore one would be chayav to carry it out. So, the Gemara is going to give four different pshatim, what the machlokas could be. And we're getting into Bam Metzia sugyas here. Amar of Yosef, number one, Osir Lashau Shtar Parua Ikebinayu. Maybe the Ruh Machlokas between them is whether one is allowed to keep a paid up shtar in one's house. Are you allowed to do that? Why wouldn't you be able to do that? So Rashi quotes the Pasuk in Eov on the first wide line, Al Tishkan Ba'alecha Avla, where you shouldn't have an Avla in one's house. If I have a paid up shtar, then my Yitzhar might get the better of me. Even though it's paid up already, I might go and try to collect it again. So it's a big danger. It's a big taiva. So that's why the halacha, at least according to one opinion, could be Asur L'shau Shtar Parua. You can't keep a Shtar Parua in your house. And therefore, a malveh wouldn't, because the Chazal said it's Asur, a malveh wouldn't keep it in his house, even if he's just using it to cover a bottle to do something else with. So that's the root of the machlokas. Back to the Gemara. Asur L'shau Shtar Parua, Ikebinayu. Rabbanan Tzavi, the Tanakama holds, Asur L'shau Shtar Parua, it's Asur, and therefore, once a shtar gets paid up, the malveh will not keep it. And therefore, this is not meaningful. This is not significant for the malveh. He's going to throw it out, and therefore, he is potter if he carries it out on Shabbos. Masha'ekein, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he holds it's not aser. Does not hold this, it's mutter le shau shtar parua. He's allowed to have it in his house, and therefore, the malveh would keep it, not to collect again, but he'd keep it in order to keep as a bottle cap, to wrap on the top of a bottle, and therefore, you would be chayiv, because the shtar parua is just like we had yesterday, just like a worn out piece of paper, a niyar, that is, that was used, that can't be written on anymore, but it can be used for something else. So Rav Yosef says, number one is the Isser to be Shoa Shtar Parua. Abaya Amar. Abaya is another pshat. No. The Kuli Amar Asur L'Shoa Shtar Parua. Everybody agrees it's Asur. Meaning, if it's already paid up and you have it in your house, you have to get rid of it. And therefore, it would not be significant on that count. But the Hacha, what is this specific case that's happening here? What is that? Bimode Bishtar Shekasvo Shetzorech Lekaimo Kamiflagi. What is that? So we have to remember the Halacha of Kiyum Shtaros. Kiyum Shtaros, the Gemara in Gittin and elsewhere tells us that when a shtar is written and there are witnesses signed on the shtar, so the Halacha is Midarabanan, Midaraisa, the shtar is fine. There are two witnesses on the shtar. We assume the shtar is kosher. We assume the shtar is not paid up. We've discussed in the pastor of Soloveitchik's Yard Site Shear about shtaros, where he discusses that's the magic of a shtar. The shtar says, signed by two witnesses, Reuven owes Shimon money. How do we know it's true? How do we know it's not paid up yet? How do we know the Edom are kosher? How do we know all these details? That's the chiddush of shtar. A shtar talks. A shtar says, I am kosher. I am not paid up. I am I am not mezuyef, whatever it is, all the halachas, that's the chiddush of shtar, unless we prove otherwise. On a daraisa level. On a drabanan level, Chazal say, in order to collect from a shtar, you have to be mekayim, the shtar. You have to aver the shtar. What does that mean? In one of three ways. I have to make sure and prove that the witnesses are kosher witnesses. How do I do that? Either I get other witnesses to testify, Reuven and Shimon are signed on the shtar. So I bring Levi and Yehuda, and they say, these are Reuven and Shimon's signatures. Or I bring Reuven and Shimon themselves, and they come and say, these are our signatures. Or I bring another shtar that was already Mekuyam, and I compare the signatures in that shtar to the first shtar. So in any of those three ways, that I'm able to be Mekayim the shtar, Bezdin then gives a special stamp on it, says it's Mekuyam, and I am then able to collect with it. That's Kiyam Shtaris. That's usually needed. But what happens, our case is, if you don't have witnesses that sign the are Mekayim the shtar, the witnesses are not around, you don't have any other way to do it, but the Lova himself says this is a true shtar. The Lova says this is true. I borrowed the money. These are the witnesses. The Lova himself says it's a kosher shtar. Do you have to be Mekayim the shtar even if the Lova admits? Because after all, you know, you have the party, the obligated party here that says that. So that's the question. That's the case that's happening here. The Lova admitted, and now does the Malva have to be Mekayimit? If he doesn't have to be Mekayimit, then this shtar is itself significant already, able to collect with it, and therefore that's going to be the Tanakama, Chayav on Shabbos. According to Rabbi, that's going to be the, if you don't require Kiyam, let's read it. Tanakama Savar, Moda Bishtar Shekosvo Shitzarach Lakayimo, the Tanakama holds, you need to be Mekayimit. And therefore, even if the Lova admits to it, it's still not significant. We'll see how that fits into the words of the Tanakhama. And Rabbi Yehuda holds, no. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Modim Shashakasvo, Ein Tzorach L'Kayimo. You don't have to be Mekayimit once the Lova says that he admits to the veracity of the Shtar. And therefore, it automatically will be good. All right, so how do you fit that into the words? Umay Ad Shelo Pra'o Umi Sheparo. How do you fit that into the words of, until he says it's paid up, or after until it was paid up and after it's paid up? No, it's referring to another element, not actually being paid or not, but if the Lova says it's a shru shtar, but I paid already. So is the Lova believed? Because after all, the only source of the kashrus of this shtar is the Lova. So do I say the principle of, Rashi quotes it, second to last line, Hapesha Asar, Hu Hapesha Hitir. The source of the kashrus of this shtar is the Lova himself. So if he says, I paid up already, so that he's also believed in that regard. Or do I say no? The second that the Lova says it's a kosher shtar, boom, that it's as if it's Kiyam Shtaris, and Mamela the Lova has to pay, and he has no ability to undermine the shtar. So that's what's going on here. Para and Misha Pra'o does not mean, in this context, paid and not paid up, but it means, Ad Sheyomar Lova Parati, Velo Parati. Until the Lova says, I paid up or not, or paid up or didn't pay up. So, in other words, how do you understand the Tanakhama? The Tanakhama says, Ad Shelo Para, right, you're still chai for the shtar. What does that mean? Until the Lova says, I paid up. If the Lova just says, this is a kosher shtar and I did not pay up, then the shtar is significant. And therefore, you're chai if you carried it out on Shabbos. Masha'en Kain, if the Lova says, I paid it, so then, according to the Tanakhama, you have to be Mekayim the shtar from somewhere else. The Lova is believed in that context. And therefore, right now, this shtar is insignificant until you do Kiyam Shtar is from somewhere else, and that's why you're going to be putter for carrying it on Shabbos. Says Rabbi Yehuda, no. Once a Lova admits to it, it's automatically Mekuyam. You don't say Pesha Asar Hu Pesha Hitir, and therefore it's going to be a significant shtar no matter what. And therefore you're going to be Chayiv for carrying it, even if the Lova says Parati. That is the second version of the Machlokas. Once this comes up, let's make a couple of comments. Haven't had this in a while. Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir. So as we know, the Gemara says in two places in Shas. Two places in Shas, the Gemara asks, at least two places, but I'll quote two, Lamali Kras Svarahu. Why do you need a pasik for the previous halacha? Isn't it a svara? Isn't it just logic? You don't need a pasik to back that up. What svaras does the Gemara say this by? One of them is Iksubis Tavchav Beis. Pesha also Pesha Hiter. A woman comes to town and says, hi, I was married, but now I'm a grusha and I'm on the market. So do we believe her? When she came to the city, we didn't even know she was married. Right? We thought she's on the market. She's a pnuya. And she comes and tells us, Eishes isha yisi ugrushani. Right? I was married, but now I'm a grusha. So do we say, well, she created a cheskas iser, she said she's an eishes ish, and now you need two witnesses or a get to show that she is divorced? Or do we say, no, hapesha asar hu hapesha itir. She's the source of the problems. She's the source of her status, so therefore we'll trust her to say that the status is no longer existent. Pesha asar pesha itir. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk from, I think, Pashas Kisetze to prove pesha asar pesha itir. And the Gemara says, lamali kras varu. What do you need a pasuk for? It's logic. Of course you're going to say pesha asar pesha itir. So that is one. And the Gemara therefore says, you're right, and therefore the pasuk is used for something else. That is one context. The other context that is brought is Bava Kama Daf Mem Vav, where the Gemara quotes the halacha of habotzi mechaveiro alav araya. Somebody wants to extract money from someone else, they're the ones that have to prove it. If I say, you know, can I please have my shirt that you're wearing? And you say, I don't know what you're talking about, it's my shirt. And I say, no, it's my shirt. So unless I have two witnesses, I can't take your shirt off of you. And you're not chayav to take it off, because I'm motzi mechaveiro. The one who is motzi, a lav araya. He is the one that has to bring the evidence. And the Gemara calls a pasuk to that effect, to prove it by Moshe when he went up to the Har Sinai, and he tells Kol Bal Dvarim Yigash Aleihem, everybody who has any problems, please go to Aaron HaKohen to deal with it. So the Gemara goes to Pasek, Ramos Mechaber Lavaraya. And again, the Gemara says, I don't understand. Lomali Kura Svara, it's a Svara. If somebody has a pain, he goes to the doctor. The doctor doesn't go to him. So if you want to get something, so you have to prove it. So the Gemara again says, you're right, and therefore uses the pasuk for something else. So those are the two places where the Gemara says that if it's based on Svara, it does not need a pasuk, and Svara is on the level of Daraisa. That's the Gemara. Based on that Gemara, including the Pesha Asa Gemara, says the Pnei Yoshua in the beginning of the sixth parak in Maseches Brachos, I don't know why Birchas Hanehenin are Durabanan. I don't know why. The Gemara says Beferish, beginning of the sixth parak, what's the reason we make Berachas Hanehenin? Oster Lehanos Ba'olam Hazeh below Bracha. You cannot let a benefit from Olam Hazeh without a Bracha. So therefore, says the Pnei Yeshua, says the Gemara, that's why we have Brachas. So says the Pnei Yeshua, I don't understand why all poskim assume that Brachas are Drabanan. If it's a Svara, just like the other two Svaras that we just mentioned, that takes the place of a Pasuk, so it should be Daraisa. That's the Pnei Yeshua's problem in Brachas on Daf Lamed Hey. And therefore, says the Pnei Yeshua, Lule Demistafina, if I wouldn't be nervous from all of my colleagues, says, Miu Nira and Iaz Daiti, says, La Tamua, Yish La Tamua, Da Bechol Hashas, Mashma Dvemidi Da Asi Mi Svara, Havi Mi Daraisa, V'Yadaraba, Maksha Hashas, Lomali Kras Svaru, V'Chulu. And then he says, and don't tell me because we have the Mesorah of Savi Brachas Lahakel. So what? I could say brachos or daraisa and still say something brachos lahakel. Kahai gabna, this is part of the din that was given to us. And therefore he says at the end, he throws up his hands. He does not have an answer. He says, I think birchas hananin should be daraisa. That's what the Pnei Yeshua says. Says the tzlach, right there. It's all in brachos. That's where the action is. Says the Noda Bihuda, the tzlach and brachos. He quotes the Pnei Yeshua. Right, he quotes the Pnei Yeshua. If you look at the first Pischei Tshuva, I think it is. The Pischei Tshuva in Hilchos, giving Hespedim. Giving Hespedim. So the first Pischei Tshuva quotes that when the Pnei Yeshua was Nifter, he had in his Tzava, he does not want Hespedim. Doesn't want Hespedim. And the Noda Yehuda was the first Maspid, and he says, we don't have to listen to this Tzava, because the generation needs the Hespedim about the Pnei Yeshua, and therefore, I'm giving a Hesped on the Pnei Yeshua. Good. But here he argues on it. Says the Tzlach, In Brachas Lamed Hey, he quotes the Pnei Yeshua and he says, I don't understand what he's talking about. He says, you can't compare Brachos and Hamotzi Mechaveiro and Pesha Asa Pesha Hitir. You know when a Svara can be on the level of a Daraisa? That's only if it's a Din. If it's a Halacha. The Omer Ani, Shezeh Shayach Rak B'din Min Adinim, like Pesha Asa Hamotzi Mechaveiro, Shevei Lamakomus Baksha Gemara. Avalomar Al Davar Shumi Svara, Shu Chashiv Mitzvah Daraisa, Zelo Shamanu. But to say things that are logical shouldn't be, you don't need a pasuk for it? You can't say that. What, keep it of aim? That's pretty logical. Right, so why do you need a pasuk for keep it of aim? Why does the Gemara say, Lama likra svarahu? No, he says, or killing. No, the answer is, no, it's whatever you have, you're trying to figure out a halacha, not a mitzvah. Mitzvahs are counted, even if you have a, right, even if it's based on a svar. You don't say a svar substitutes for a mitzvah. Daraisa or derabanan. No, svaras only substitute for psukim when they are what we would call a halacha, a din, not a mitzvah. So Pesha'asa, Pesha'hiter, and the others, those are dinim, those are not included. That's the tzlach's problem with the Pnei Yeshua and his answer, his chilek. If you look at the Minchas Asher, I think we've quoted this in the past also, in Dvarim, he quotes, even if within the world of Svara, there are differences. That's what he would call intellectual Svaras and emotional Svaras. If you go over to a non-Jew on the street and say, Should you have to make thank God before each and every benefit that you get from the world? He might not answer yes. Might answer yes. Maybe he's an atheist, right? Maybe he thinks that, no, I do it once a year. Do it once a year. I don't have to do it every day. But if you ask them about Pesha Asar, if you ask them about Amos Chaver Lavaraya, they'll probably agree. Because those are based on logic, pure logic. So there's differences between logic of the heart and logic of the mind. And therefore, also, you cannot compare the different svaras of Pesha Asar, which is quoted here in Rashi, versus the others. Pesha Asar itself is a huge topic. How much is Pesha Asar related to Migu, the regular type of Migu? How much is it a separate din? The Gemara says sometimes Migu, but Pesha Asar, you know, has that Pesha Asar. One place it seems to call it Migu, but either way, this is a big sugya in the Achronim. Okay, let's continue. That is all answer number two. What is the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rebbe Yehuda in terms of carrying out the Shtar Parua on Shabbos? So we have the first two. Number one, whether it's you're allowed to keep a paid-up Shtar in your house. Number two, Modi B'Shtar Shekasvil, if the Lova admits, do we say it's Mekuyim or not? Number three, Rava Amar Dekule Alma Modi B'Shtar Shekasvil Tzarch L'Kaimo. No, everybody would agree that even if the Lova says it, you still have to be Mekayim it. And if you don't, and the Lova says I paid up, you cannot collect with it. Meaning, on that count, it's worthless. The shtar does not count. So everybody holds that you can't keep it in your house. Everybody holds that the shtar needs to be mekuyim. So what's the case we're talking about here? V'hacha b'kosvin shovar kamiflagi. We're going to go with our girsa. Rashi quotes two girsos. He likes the second one, which is the one that we have. We're going to go with our girsa of the Gemara. B'kosvin shovar kamiflagi. The case is, the issue is, whether one writes a receipt after paying. Shovar is a receipt. So, do we write receipts for payments made? Why wouldn't we? What's the downside of writing a receipt? The downside is, if the Malva and the Lova are in court, the Malva can't find the Shtar. It's at home somewhere. The Lova agrees that he owes the money. He's out of chakra, and he agrees. The question is, if the Malva doesn't have the Shtar, do we make the Lova pay? Normally, if the Malva has the Shtar in court, the Lova pays and you rip up the Shtar. Finished. Nothing to talk about. You give it to the Lova. He can use it for whatever he wants. But you rip it up. But what if the Malva does not have the Shtar? So do we make the Lova pay and then give him a receipt, give him a shovar, and then it's on his achrayus to watch the shovar, not to lose it, to make sure the Malva cannot collect again? Then the onus, the burden is on the Lova. So that's, do we say that? Kosev and shovar? Or do we say no? We don't want the Lova to have that responsibility. No, until the Malva brings the Shtar, that's it. We're not going to make the Lova pay. So that's the issue discussed here. V'hacha b'kosvin shovar kamiflagi. So what is it? So Tana Kama saw, and that's going to impact whether the Shtar ultimately found has any significance. As follows. Tanakama Savar, the Tanakama who says only up to Piron it's worth something, but if it's already paid up, it's worthless, and therefore if you carry it out on Shabbos, you're going to be Patur. Tanakama Savar, Kosvin Shovar. You write a Shovar, meaning the Lova pays in court, he accepts the Shovar, and now, if the Malva ever finds the Shtar, it's worthless. There's no, the Malva doesn't do anything with this. Why? He can't collect again with it, because the Lova has the shofar, and also, Rashi explains, he doesn't have to give it back to the Lova. Right, it's not significant in that way either, because the Lova has the shofar. So he doesn't have to give it back to the Lova. So this shtar parua is now meaningless, and that's why the Tanakhama says, once it's paid up, so then if you carry it out on Shabbos, you are going to be putter. That is according to the Shita of Kosvin Shofar. I'm sorry. Right. Tanakama Savar Kosvin Shofar. Rabbi Yehuda Savar ain't Kosvin Shofar. No, it's a case where you don't write a shofar. And therefore, either way, so you're in court, they're arguing. So there's no shofar written. So either the malva is going to have to bring the shtar to court in order to be able to collect. So that show that then the shtar is significant. And Rashi adds in that even if the love pays, and says, you know what, when you find your shtar, just rip it up. But in that case, the malva then will have to return the shtar to the love. It has significance, even after Piron. And if he doesn't return it, this is the chiddush of Rashi, then Bezdin, at whatever time period it is that they give him to find the shtar, Bezdin will make him give back the money. So really, the shtar is significant. Let's see that in Rashi. In this big Rashi, it's about the 15th skinny line. Rashi quotes, V'hachi garsinon. This is the Ar Gersa, and this is how we just explained it. Tanakama savar kosvin shovar. The Tanakama holds that we do write a shovar. V'hachi ka'amar. Mishe pra'o love. Once the love pays. V'hotzio malve b'shabbos. And then the malve takes the shtar out on Shabbos pater. Why? She'enot tzarechlo. The shtar is meaningless to him right now. And therefore, vi amrit. And if you say kiva de roy lotzra pitz lochiso, aye, it's still usable. Hu de baya aduri the love. He doesn't have to return it to the love because it's still somewhat usable. No, lo machile the love. He has a shovar. He's not going to keep it. Shema yavul de malva viachser vitvenu. Maybe he's going to lose it. He's going to go back. He doesn't want it. So the love, he has a shovar, and it's therefore the shtar does not have to be returned to the love. Vi inami lo mehad der le malva luchmas in the love. And even if the malva never returns it, the love doesn't care. Because the lova has the shofar. So that's the Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda Savar ain't kosvin shofar. He says, no, it's a case where you don't write a shofar. Therefore, in court, you wouldn't make the lova pay. And if he does pay, Hilkach tzarech hu amalve deboi la'adure. He's going to have to return that shtar once he finds it. V'ilo mahadule, and here's the key line of Rashi, v'ilo mahadule, if he does not return it, chozer v'tov olo mashe pra'o. The lover will go back and try to get back what he paid. The losagi le b'shovar. The circle shomer menachbar. He doesn't want the responsibility of having a shovar. And therefore, he just wants the shtar ripped up. And if he doesn't get the shtar back, he's going to get his money back. The Pnei Yeshua says on this Rashi, we never have such a halacha. It's a big chiddush in Rashi. He interprets it that last line he argues on. He says, when do you ever have a case where somebody pays up and if then the malveh doesn't prove it, he's going to have to give back the money? That's very unusual. So Pnei Yeshua argues just on that detail and gives another shot of that line. So that's a very interesting chiddush of Rashi. Right, the Pnei Yeshua says, "Sorech iyun v'lo yadana mai svara yesh bazeh sheyachzer lo amos to bechula talmuda lo mashma l'man da'amar ain kosvin shovar el inyan din kovin alove." The only thing the ain kosvin shovar says is that we don't force the lover to pay. But once he paid, then we're going to make the malva give back the money. He says that we never find. Ube'emes avimus lefarish shesorech hashtar l'malva k'dei lachzir l'love. You could have just said he needs it to. You didn't have to say that line in Rashi. But that is what the Pnei Yeshua points out. That chiddush of Rashi. In terms of having to return the money if the malve never brings the shtar into court.
Well, that's relevant in any case, no matter what, whoever has it.
Let's might not be relevant because the downside of keeping it would override that. Because a person wouldn't keep it stopped to a bottle, because what if it falls off the bottle and the malve finds it, etc. That's why they wouldn't keep it. Good. Number four. Fourth suggestion of what the machlokas is about. A regular case. Up until now, the three cases I've been talking about, the malve holding it. The malve going out with it on Shabbos. So now we switch. Ravashi says no. It's when the love takes it out. Right? It's not clear. The formulation of the machlokas doesn't say malve or love. But Ravashi says it's the love. Mipnei. And the issue is, do we say that the lov is going to want to hold on to the shtar parua to be able to show another potential creditor? To say that, you know what? I pay up my loans. You see this? I pay this up. So would he want to keep it? He wants to keep it a certain percentage, but is that enough of a percentage to make it significant in order to be chayav on Shabbos? Rabbi Shetzarach La'arosa L'Bal Chov Sheni, he wants to show it to the second Bal Chov, that he says to him, Chazi Gavra De Para'ana. You see, I am somebody who repays their loans. So that's significant to a certain level, but it's not so significant, so therefore, are you chayiv in that case? Right? In all these cases of Shabbos, it's interesting to think about what's the level. Like we had the fascinating case yesterday of the Chashuke Chemed, about you want to check the water to see if it's clean or not. Right? We had the case a couple of days ago about the Dam Nida. Right? If you're going to want to show it to the Chacham, so it has significance to me, even though it doesn't have significance objectively, right? So all of these are similar cases. Once we're on the topic of the Chashuke Chemed, right, there's one other Chashuke Chemed right here on this line of Chazi, see that I'm a Ne'eman person. So here's the case. Reuven lent somebody money. Good. And the person gave him a Maisab Reuven Shanasan Lamalves Shalom. Shtar Kesef Piron. I'm sorry, Reuven pays back. Reuven pays back the Malve. The Malve takes the money, there's 100 shekel, whatever it is, a bill, throws it into his compartment. Wonderful, he doesn't look at it. After about a year, Kavar Shana, Shimon comes and also repays a loan. Gives him 100 shekel bill, whatever it is, he takes it, he throws it into the compartment. Wonderful. That night, he goes and now realizes that he has that money in the compartment, he takes it out and he realizes one of the shtaros is counterfeit. One of the shtaros is Mezuyev. And he has no idea from which borrower he got the counterfeit bill. And before he says anything, he goes over to Reuven and says, that bill that you gave me, where'd you get that from? And he says, I got it from my father, or whatever, some kosher person. He asks the other person, separately, where'd you get that? He says, I got it from so-and-so. Both kosher people. So he calls them together. And he says, Shalo samamalve, ha'imatem ma'aminim li she'echad mishtaroseichem mizuyaf? Do you guys believe me that one of your shtaros are counterfeit? And they say, if you say so, we believe you. We believe you. Right? You believe me that I'm a Ne'eman guy? That's why it's on this line of the Gemara. You believe me? And they said, yes. So he takes out the bills and he shows them. And now he says, so what do we do? Right? They all want to follow the halacha. This one malveh got paid back. One of the shtaros is counterfeit. And these two guys, Reuven and Shimon, don't know who gave the false bill. And they don't know, do they have to pay? Do they have to each pay 50? Do they have to pay nothing? Hamos v'chaver lo v'raya? They don't know. So what is the halacha? So he says, if you look in the Taz in Choshe Mishpat, it's a similar case in the Taz Paskins Pater. Even Medina Shemayim, because Hamos Vechalev Araya. While the Shach there is in Reish Lamed Beis, Sifkat and Tesvav, he holds Eni Echai Medina Shemayim, because it's similar to a case of Eni Odea Impraticha. Meaning the Gemara is Machalik between, if the Malva comes over to me and says, you owe me money, and I say, I don't know if I lent you money, I don't remember if I borrowed money from you. If I borrowed money from you, then I'm putter. But if I say, I borrowed money from you, I don't remember if I paid you back, that's a cheskas chiyuf, not a cheskas putter, so you're chayuf. So the Shach says in this case, it's like any odei in praticha. You know the loan took place, you're not sure whether the loan was repaid, so therefore, one, he would have to pay back. He would have to figure it out. But then he says, bizman azeh, we have fingerprinting. So he says, but you should just go to the cops and get the fingerprints taken off of the shkalim and see whose fingerprints. Is it Reuven or Shimon's fingerprints? Kayom shashem yisbar gilo lanu chachmas tevias etzbos mistaber shem yaviru es hashtaros alalu l'ma'abada l'zihui tevias etzbos v'hamumchin yizaw es hashtaros l'chora. That would be a raya. That would be a raya, and you can go by that. So mistaver, but tzarech ian, and then he says the tzarech ian efshal lisbach al chachladina ki tzarech birur ad kama tfias etzbos amina. Interesting, right? Lemaisa, right? This relates to the larger sugya of all of the new scientific ways of getting information, right? DNA, fingerprinting, all of this. Does this take the place of two witnesses? You don't have two witnesses. So does this take the place of it? Okay, Mishum Aguna, for sure, we would rely on it because we rely on a lot of circumstantial evidence when it comes to Mishum Aguna for Eidos Isha. But for all other Eidos, right, would we do it? So that's in the Chashuke Chemed right here. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara, two dots. Or, Kadei Lassos V'chulu. Enough hide to make a kamiya. Or to wrap around a kamiya. So, by me, Rav Amir of Nachman. He's going to ask a number of questions. So even though the first one is beferish in the Mishnah, Rashi says he asks it because it's basically leading up to the next ones. So amotzi or bakama, how much or do you have to carry out? Amar lake, it's none. The Mishnah says, or kedei lasos kamiya. Ha ma'abdo bakama, how much or do you have to be ma'abed? Right, one of the lamates malachis. If you tan it, how much you have to tan to be chayiv? Amar lake loshna. Same shear. Tanning and carrying it out, the same shear, enough to make a kamiya. La'abdo bikama. What if you are carrying out raw hide in order to tan it? Amalei loshna, same thing. Meaning, it doesn't make a difference if you carry out processed hide and unprocessed hide. That's what we just said. That's what we're going to talk about for the rest of the Amud. Is that really true? Umina timra, how do you know that even if something is not processed, it's raw hide, it's the same shear as processed hide? Kidetnan, as the Mishnah says later on, Hamalabin, if somebody cleans, how much of a small beged? How much do you have to do for all these malachas? Hamalabin, cleaning. Vamanafates, or combing out raw wool. Vatsoveya, coloring. Vatova, spinning into thread. All these malachas. Shiuro, ki, mali, rocha, vasit kaful. Small area. Sit kaful, a sit is explained as the measurement between your second and third finger. A sit kaful is the distance between your thumb and your esbed, your pointer, which is about double the size between your second and third finger. So that's the shear. Via oreg base chut. So that's by the raw material. Menafates and tovin, that's by the raw threads. And then once you have that, via oreg base chutin, and how much about the weaving itself, once you have the threads, shiuro kumalo rochav asit. Kafo, question about the girsa there. But either way, you see it's the same type of same sheer discussion. Alma, kivan de latvia kai, since it is going to be sewed, shiuro kit or spun, shiuro kitavui. So the shear of these raw materials is you go by as if it is spun already. Sachanami, see here too, kivan de la abdo kai, shiuro kime ubad. Since it's going to be processed and tanned, so too, you have the same shear. Says the Gemara, is that really true? Oh, well, one more line. V'shalola abdo bakama. What if you do not have any intention to be ma'abed it? No intention. Amar le'loshna. Still doesn't make a difference. Doesn't make a difference. Ritva says here, lo plug. Lo plug. Once you determine for process and unprocess, it doesn't matter if in a specific case, you don't have that kavana. Good. Says the Gemara, v'lo shani bein ma'ubad l'sheino ma'ubad. Is that really true? We're going to ask four times now. Is that really true that something unprocessed, something in its raw material state, has the same shear as if it's processed? But we find a couple of places where that's not true. Esve, hamotzi, samanim shruyim. If somebody carries out herbs that were soaked in order to get their dye, samanim shruyim, they're already soaked. They're already processed. How much? Kedelet svoba and dugma le'ira. Enough to color a little tiny little bit of the loom. A very small shear. Ve'ilu b'samanim she'enem shruyim. But if we're talking about raw samanim, tanan we learned, klipi agozim, klipi rimonim, satis v'pua. There's all different types of coloring agents that grow, right, the outside of pomegranates, etc. Kedelet svoba hen beged katan lefi svacha. In order to color a part of the beged of a woman's cat, a woman's covering. So it's a bigger shear. So you see, the raw material, before it's processed, has a larger shear than afterwards. So how can we say in our Gemara that hide, processed, unprocessed, has the same shear? So Gemara says, no, that's different. Ha'itmar Allah, Amr of Nachman, Amr of Baravua, Lefishein Adam Torech, Lishro, Samanim, Litzvo, Behendug, Mele'ira. No, the point is, when something is in the raw state, I'm not going to go through the tircha of going through the whole process of dying in order to produce such a small amount. So that's why, when it's raw material, you need more. But once you have it, then even a little bit is significant. And therefore, even carry out a little bit. That's going to be the same kind of answer that we're going to give in each of these, as we'll see. Unlike by or. By R, processed or unprocessed is equal. Rashi says that on the first wide line, aval R, torech adam la'abe kidei kamiya. A person will take a little bit of R in order to cover up a kamiya. So therefore, it's the same, processed or unprocessed. Next question. Vahare zeroni gina. What about seeds? Seeds. How many seeds are you chayiv if you carry out seeds? Demikami dezarinu, before you plant them, tznan, zeroni, gina, pachas, mikagogaris, you have to take out a bunch of seeds, a little less than a fig size, but it's a handful. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, omer chamisha, five seeds. Vilu basar zarinu, tznan, and after they're planted, meaning if you carry out a little growth, something that grew, a vegetable, zevel b'chol hadak, how much fertilizer or thin sand, kadei lazavel b'klach shel kruv, enough to fertilize one head of a cabbage. But you see, one head of a cabbage is significant. Even though if it's in the seed state, one seed for one cabbage would not be significant. And yet after it's processed, It is significant. Rabbi Akiva, the Chacham Morim, could deal with Kresha, or a different, a leek. But again, you see this different shiurim between the raw state, the seeds, and after they grow. So again, the Gemara says, Ha idmar Allah, Amar of Papa, Ha de Zariah, Ha de lo Zariah, Lefishein Adam Torech, Lahotzi Nima, Achaz Lazariah. One seed is not significant. Who plants one seed in their field? They plant the whole field. But once something grows, every vegetable is significant. And therefore, again, you can't compare the cases. Next, v'harei tit, this we already had. V'harei tit, clay or dirt. Dimikame delikbale, before you make it into cement. Tanya, modim chachamen l'rabbi shimin, b'motzi shofach l'mshasarabim. Remember, we have, everybody agrees that if you have wastewater, bringing it out to the street, what is the shiur? Sheshiur and b'revius. It's revius, v'havinam ba shofach l'maychazu. What could you use wastewater for? V'yomer b'yirmiyel agabal benetatit. For cement, the ilu baser de gable, but after you made it into cement, tanya tit kde lasos ben pikur, just to put it on the hole where the bellows go in. Lasos kde lasos ben pikur. So again, you see, it's a different shear. It's a much smaller shear. The water, which has to do with cement, is much larger than the cement itself. So again, the Gemara says, hasam nami kita amran lefi she'en adam toreach bahen l'gabel et atit lasos bo pikur. Once you have cement, every little piece of the bit of the cement is significant. But when you didn't make the cement, nobody's going to make a tiny amount of cement. You make it in bulk. And therefore, again, it's going to have different sizes. Next, tashma. So those three were from outside of our context. Now we go to within Oros. Tashma, Dom Rebbe Chia Bar Ami Mishmei De'ula, Shlosha Oros Hein. There are three hides, meaning in the processing state. Matzah, V'chifa, V'diftara. Matzah, K'mashmo. To produce a hide, it goes through a couple of stages. First, you soak it in a heavy salt material, then you put it in a liquid, and then you put it in a type of solution with flour, and then you put it into a solution with gallnuts. Three different stages of the processing. So matzah, kemashmo, delo maliach, velo kamiach, udelo afetz. Matzah is in the raw state. Nothing. Nothing has been done to it. V'kama shiuro, how much matzah if I carry out, is that significant? Tani Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda, k'dei lotzer bo mishkolas katana, in order to put a little weight inside of it. Meaning you can't use that to write on, it's not processed at all, but you can wrap something in it. You can wrap a little weight inside of it. V'kama amar abaya, riva de riva de pupadisa. A quarter of a measurement in pupadisa. So that's by matzah. Chipa, the second one, de maliach. It was in the salting solution, velo kamiach, velo afetz, but it wasn't in the flour solution, from the word kemach, and it wasn't in the gallnuts. The kamashiuro, and how much of that do you have to carry out? Kiditz nan, or kadeilasos kamiach. Enough or, that's what we're talking about in our Mishnah. That the semi-process, right, you did the maliach, but not the later, and that you can wrap a kamiach in. Diftera, the third level, de maliach, velo kamiach, velo afetz. Right, so the first two stages are done, but you didn't do the final stage of ufitz, which is done when we use it for, if it's all done, what is it called? Cloth. Right, but that's if it's all done. But this is diftara, v'kama shi'uro, k'dei lichtov alav es aget. But you could use that to write a get on. This, if it's two out of three are done. End of the b'risa, what do you see from there? And what does a get mean? Rashi says, the ikara get. Hariyat muteres l'chol adam, right, and the his name, her name, eidim zman. Right, and it's smaller than all of them. Rashi says that's the smallest shear. Ketani mias, but what do you see from this brisa? Processed and unprocessed have different shiurim. K'dei lotzer bo mishkolas katana. V'yamar abaya riva de riva de pupadisa? Question marks. So you see, there's a different shear between processed and unprocessed. Answer says the Gemara, Hasam bibishula. There we're talking about fresh hide. It's still moist, and therefore that's why it's going to have a different shear, because we're talking about bishula. Rashi says, lach, kemosha hufshat, kari bishula. And it's not roi even for ibud yet. It's not roi for this whole processing. First you have to dry it out. So that's why it's a separate type. You're right, once it's ready for the processing, then it's going to have the same shear for later. But here it's not even in that world yet. Let's just do two more lines. One more question, vahatnan. What about this case? The Mishnah says in Kalim, habeget shlosha al shlosha, what's the smallest amount of a beget? That's makabel tumah. Habeget shlosha, lemedris, three tzvachim. Hasag, dalad al dalad. V'ha'or, hey al hey. Mefitz, vav al vav. Bein lemedris, bein lemeis. And this is for tumas medris, for a zav or a zavah to sit on, or for tumas meis. V'tani Allah, and we learned about that, a braisa about that mishnah, habeged v'hasak v'ha'or, kishir l'tuma kachshir l'hotzah. So you see there's a different shear. It says, or it's 5x5, which is a different shear than we have it, even though we say we should compare it. So the Gemara answers, again, that's a different type of or. Hahu bekur tuvla. That's talking about or where Rashi says, mevashla baroschin. It was boiled and it became hard and it's not useful for to doing anything with. Right? It's used to sit on, used for a couch, but that is why, don't ask me questions for that or. Adkan, this issue. If you look in the Ritva here, out of left field, the Ritva says, you know what you learn from this Gemara? There are those that learn from this Gemara. What's the unprocessed hide called? Matzah. Delo maliach, velo kamiach, velo afitz. Says the Ritva, this is the source that some say you shouldn't have any salt in the processing of your matzah for Pesach. Because here it says matzah, delo maliach, not even maliach, we're not talking about after when you're at the Seder. But says the Ritva, and this is quoted in the Mordechai also, Amsachim, Ika de dayik mehacha, she'ein lases melach b'matzah shal Pesach. Desta matzah hainu below melach, kidamrin anacha. And the Ritva says, Valesa. Sorry, I don't buy that raya. Daha, why? Because by carbonas mincha are also called matzah. And we have salt in there. Don't compare me the matzah of a hide and the matzah of Pesach. Right? The matzah of a hide maybe doesn't have salt. But the matzah of Pesach can. He said, we put salt on a carbon mincha and they're called matzah. So that's why the Ritva says not to... the Ritva says one doesn't have to be makbid about this. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch discusses this in two places. Number one, the Shulchan Aruch says here in Tuf Nun Hey, Noagin. Who's Noagin? Right here. It's this Ritva and the Mordechai. Shelo litein melach b'matzah. Even if you put salt usually in your dough, no. V'nachon adavar. And the Rama says, v'filu b'dieved yesh lasar, because there's another issue, maybe maliach karoseach. But that is quoted. This Tosfos is this Ritva's day right here is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, and then the Mishnah Berurah quotes la hainu kodem afia, like we just said. Aval acher afia vade shori looked up pnei matzah b'mei melach alachzir mataner. After it's ready baked, you could put it back. You could put some salt on it. Mikamaka, maybe not for the matzah's mitzvah, but this is the Shulchan Aruch here. But if you look later on, this is what some people might be familiar with. In Tuf Ayin Hay, the Rama quotes a minhag of not dipping your matzah into salt at the seder. That's not what our Gemara is talking about. Our Gemara is talking about the processing, the baking process. But the Ramah does quote that in Tuf Ayin Hay. The Ein Haminog Latavlim B'melach B'layla Rishona. The Shulchan Aruch says Yitlim B'melach. The Ramah quotes not to. To pass Noki Ein Sarach Melach. Others say because of Chavivas HaMitzvah, you want the pure taste of the matzah at the Seder without having it in salt. You should have salt on the table because of the Mizbeach, but not dip it in the salt. Either way, that is an important discussion, but it has to do with a little bit of Chavivas HaMitzvah, right? Maybe that's why some say not to dip it in salt. Interesting, related to Chavivas HaMitzvah, that's the whole source of Matzah Shruya, of Gebrux. Right, it's not really a source, but there is one Rishon that discusses it. The Ravon. The Ravon writes that the minhag was not to soak the matzah on the first night of Pesach so that you have tam matzah b'fiv because of chavivas hamitzvah. Nothing to do with chametz. Later on in the 1600s, 1700s, when the minhag started getting a little more basis in the sources, they spoke about because matzahs were a little thicker, and if you put it into boiling in water, it's a chash chimutz, really. The Rishonim, you don't have that. But the Ravon has this idea of chavivas hamitzvah, just like the Ramah quotes about no salt, so too the Ravon has it about soaking it. Okay, weiter, we continue. Says the Gemara, klaf. Next, klaf is totally processed hide. So what's that shear? They lichtov ala parsha ktana, as we said in the Mishnah, enough to write the first parsha of Kriyashma, parsha ktana. V'raminhu, is that really true? We have another braisa. Klaf uduchsustis, they lichtov ala mezuzah. Klaf and duchsustis. What are klaf and duchsustis? Every animal hide has an outer layer and an inner layer. The outer layer is called klaf from the word klipa, like a peel. The inner layer is called duchsustis. So which part is used for which sifrei kodesh? We'll get to that soon. But the braisa says, klaf and duchsustis, the shear is to write mezuzah. What's mezuzah? Mezuzah is shema and volume shemoa. So how could our Mishnah say that the shear for klaf is only shema? So my mezuzah shebetfilin. Mezuzah means the mezuzah in tefillin, meaning Shema. What does that mean? The kari lulu tefillin mezuzah, you would call a parsha of tefillin mezuzah? So Gemara says, yes, in, you would. The hatanya, v'ritzuos tefillin imma tefillin matamos ezeyadayim. Not only, as we know, tefillin themselves, make your hands tam, made xera drabanan, because they used to keep, the Kohanim used to put truma into the Aron Kodesh, so Chazal, therefore, said that if the truma touches any svarim, it becomes tameh. That's how they prevented Kohanim from keeping truma with the Sifrei Torah, which eventually were eaten by the animals. So not only are the tefillin mitameh yadayim, as the Mishnah is describing yadayim, but the straps as well. Bifnei atzman ein mitameh yadayim. Only if they're connected. If you have separate tefillin straps, they're not mitameh yadayim. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer Mishum Reb Shimon, hanogea biritzua tahar. If you touch the ritzua, your tahar chigeb a ketzitza. Even if it's attached, it's not mitameh yadayim. Only if you touch the box itself, the ketzitza. Rabbi Zakkai Mishmo Omer, Rabbi Zakkai says, Tahar Achiyiga b'mezuzah atzma. No, not until you touch the cloth. But what do you see from there? He's talking about the cloth of the tefillin, and he calls it mezuzah. So you see, the mezuzah, tefillin can be called mezuzah. So that's why the Brisa, when the Brisa is cloth, enough to write a mezuzah, it means the mezuzah in the tefillin. So Gemara says, 1 minute. V'amitisani Sefer, the Sefer of that Brisa says, Klaf k'dei lichtov alav parashat k'tana shebet tefillin, shishma Yisrael. The next line of that Brisa, it talks about what the shear is for klav, and it says explicitly tefillin. Michlad the reisha b'mezuzah atzmaskinon. So it must be the reisha is talking about mezuzah. So we're back to our question. So how could it say the shear is shema and vahaya? Because that's what you write in the mezuzah. So the Gemara says, no, hachiktani. There should be a comma in between. Klav viduchsustis, shiur and bakama. How much is each? Duchsustis, they looked over the mezuzah. Duchsustis, which is the inner layer in order to write the mezuzah on. Klaf, they looked over the parashat k'tanah shebet tefillin, shishma Yisrael. So therefore we answer the stira, period. But once this is here, the Gemara goes into a little bit, a few halachas of stam. Here we go. Amar Rav, duchsustis harayika klaf. Rav made a statement, and he says duchsustis and klaf, they're the same. He compared them. Tosfos says, the bottom Tosfos, he made this statement, but we didn't know whether he was saying duchsustis is like klaf or klaf is like duchsustis. That was what was unclear in Rav's statement. So that's why we're going to have two different opinions here. What do we think first? Ma klaf, kosven alav tefillin. Just like klaf, you can write tefillin on, meaning the outer layer of the animal's hide. Av duchsustis kosven alav tefillin, so too tefillin. That's Rav, the first version of Rav. That tefillin can be written on both. Tanan, is that really true? Klaf, k'dei lichto parashat k'tanah shebet tefillin, shishma Yisrael. Klaf, the Mishar Misha said, klaf, in order to write parashat k'tanah shebet tefillin. So you see, it has to be klaf. So Gemara said, no, the mitzvah, it's only l'chadchila. It says klaf because that's what was used. That's the best to use. But really, if you want, you could also use dusustis. Tashma, what we learned, halach l'moshe b'sinai, tefillin al haklaf, u'mezuzah al dusustis. Tefillin has to be on the outer layer and mezuzah on the inner layer. Klaf b'makam basar. But which side of those layers do you write it on? So, the tefillin, which is on the klaf, is written on the inner side of that outer layer. Duchsustis b'makam seyar. And the inner layer, which is used for mezuzah, you write on the outer side of that inner layer. Right? Because hair is the outer side of the animal and basar is the inner side of the animal. So, but again, but what do you see from there? The Brisa says that tefillin has to be on klaf. So again, l'mitzvah. It was only l'mitzvah. Sfasemis here is a difficult time. Halacha Moshe Misinai is halacha chila. Oh, that's b'di'evit. You don't have to follow halacha Moshe Misinai. Or is halacha Moshe Misinai, he says, really you can write on both, but this is better. And it's dindra abanan to do one, so he works it out how, because his pashtus is difficult to say, there's halacha Moshe Misinai that's only halacha chila. But next, v'atanya, shina pasol. But we have a Brisa that says if you switch puzzle. So it sounds like you cannot write tefillin on duchsustis. So again, kashan rav. So amezuzah. No, only if you switch it in one direction. If you write mezuzah on cloth, that's the problem. Ivatan yeshina bazeh bazeh puzzle. It says if you go in either direction. No, edivi edia mezuzah. That's referring both to mistakes that you have by mezuzah. The hard de kasvinu aklap amakam seyar. One is where you wrote it on the wrong side. You wrote it on cloth. Bimakom seyar, you wrote it on the klaf, which you are not supposed to use for mezuzah, right? Mezuzah, we mentioned, you used duchsustis. You wrote on the klaf. That's one mistake that you can make by mezuzah. Inami ad duchsustis bimakom basar. You wrote it on the wrong side of the duchsustis. But either way, they're both talking about mezuzah, but still Rav's statement that tefillin can be written on both stands. V'ibayaseyema, or we say no. Shina baze abazetanayu. Maybe it is a machlokas. Maybe some say, argue on Rav. Titania, Shina Bazeo Bazet Pasol, Rabbi Acha Machshir Mishum Rabbi Achi Barchanina. So it's a machlokas. V'yamila Mishum Rabbi Yaakov Barchanina. Some say it's Rabbi Yaakov. Period. Rav Papa Amar, Rav Da Amar, Ketana Dmei Menashe. Rav, who says the statement that Tilon can be written on both, really holds like Tana Dmei Menashe. The Tana Dmei Menashe holds, Kasva Al Haniyar Vala Matlis Psula. If you write it, if you write the mezuzah on Niyar or Matlis Pasol, on paper or a beged, ala cloth, ala gvil. Gvil is when it wasn't even separated yet into cloth and dosustis. It's just together, unseparated. Biala dosustis kshera. So what are we talking about in this brisa? That if you write on any of these, it's kosher. Kasva ma, ilema mezuzah. Are we talking about mezuzah? So mezuzah, cloth, mi kasvidon? You can't write mezuzah on cloth. So elo lava tefillin. It must be talking about tefillin. And therefore you see this brisa holds that tefillin can be written on both, like our understanding of Rav. So think about 1 minute. Tefillin on gvil mi kasvinon? Tefillin on gvil? On unprocessed? Who says that's okay? Elokitanya ibe sefer Torah. This price has no proof to anything. It must be talking about sefer Torah, which you could write even on gvil. Period. So again, there's no raya to Rav. First we'll continue, and then we'll see if we have time, probably next time, to go into it. Lema Messiah, you know what? A little bit more. Lema Messiah, let's say we have a proof to Rav. Kiyotse bo, tefillin, shebalu, v'sefer Torah, shebala, ain't osin mehen mezuzah. Tefillin that gets worn out. Or a sefer Torah, you cannot use it for a mezuzah. Why? L'fishe moridin, mikdusha chamur, l'kdusha kala. Because it's ain't malin bakodesh v'lo moridin. So you can't make a sefer Torah and a tefillin into mezuzah. So taima de ain't moridin. The only reason is because you're going down in kedusha. But ha moridin, osin? But if you wouldn't hold to that principle, you would be able to? What's it written on? Dixiva amai. Lav dixiva duchsustis. Isn't it written on duchsustis? Because that's the only thing that's kosher for mezuzah. And therefore you see that tefillin can be written on duchsustis. Raya to Rav. So, lo, dixiva ala cloth. Must be written on cloth. Mezuzah cloth mikasvina. So how with the havamina then? How can you make it into mezuzah? In, yes, v'atanya, we have a brisa. Kasva ala klaf ala niyar v'ala matlis psula. Yeah, if you write a mezuzah on any of these pasul, I'm Reb Shimon Elazar, Rabbi Meir haya, kosva ala klaf. He, Reb Meir, used to write it on klaf. So he argues, he says you can write a mezuzah on klaf. Mipnei shemish tameres, because it guards it better. It's a stronger feel. So you see, there's a brisa, there's a tana out there that says mezuzah also can be written on klaf. So the Gemara ends off by saying, Hashad Asas Lahaki, once we say this, and maybe we could re-understand Rav. Because we know Rav made a comparison, we didn't know in which direction. La Rav Nami Lotema, Duchsustis Harayuka Klaf, you don't have to say that for Tfilin, Ella Eva Klaf Harayuka Duchsustis, Ma Duchsustis Kosum La Mezuzah, Av Klaf Kosum La Mezuzah. Because maybe he would say like Rebbe Meir. Good. So, La Maisa, this is the mezuzah and the tefillin case is what you're allowed to write on. Maybe next time we'll get to into the lamaisa. Just one ha'ara, and that is a mezuzah has to be written keseder. So what's the case that you're going to make a sefer Torah or tefillin into a mezuzah? Shman v'haya are next to each other. So how do you have a mezuzah? You have to write a mezuzah keseder. So Rashi says you cut the parts of the Torah out. But how do you do that? You have to have it written in exactly in order. So Tosva says, it must be maybe you have the Haya or Shema, you have a Haya at the top of a column, and you're going to just add in Shema before, and the whole issue of Keseder is only by words, not by Parshios. Or you have Shema at the bottom of a column, and you can add in the Haya at the bottom. That is what Tosva says. We argue on that in Shulchan Aruch. Because in Shulchan Aruch, we paskin even the Parshios are Ma'akiv, you have to do a Keseder. But Tosva's obviously holds Lakula. The Gra points out this Tosfos Lakula that the words have to be in order, but the parshiyos do not have to be. Because what else is the Gemara talking about? You got to figure out some way. The Chumash Shita has to have some way that you understand this Gemara. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue. Again, I'm going to try to give tomorrow's daf some point today. I'm going to try, and then Be'ez Hashem will continue on Sunday with daf Pei Aleph.